This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Today we have a close eye on the power outage on Ocracoke and Hatteras Islands, and in a moment we'll get an update from WNC reporter Jason DeBruin. But first, the latest news on redistricting. A panel of three federal judges set a deadline for lawmakers to redraw legislative districts. 28 districts were found to be racially gerrymandered. The deadline to design the new maps is just around the corner. The judges also determined that North Carolina will not have special elections this year. WUNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBeery has been following the story. Welcome back, Jeff.
Good to be here, Frank.
Tell us about this latest ruling.
This is a ruling that does not necessarily please either side. It isn't what either side is asking for. The Republicans of the state legislature had a self-imposed mandate of November 15th to draw these new maps. Attorneys for the plaintiffs, attorneys from the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, wanted maps drawn in short order, 2 weeks. And they wanted to have special elections, which would have taken place really from December through March of 2018. So this schedule that's been laid out allows time for public comment. As you noted, there will be no special election. Maps, as of this moment, are due September 1st. That could kick to September 15th, depending on whether or not the legislature meets certain deadlines and criteria. And we know that we will have new districts for between 90 and 115 or so of the legislative seats come 2018. So those are some of the basics.
Right around the corner, too. That's only a month away to get those maps done. Have they been working on those? Do we know if that's because, as you say, it's 28 districts found to be racially gerrymandered. They all have borders that touch other districts. Therefore, many more are involved.
Do they have the maps drawn? Have they been working on them? They would tell you that, and they, the leadership, they are going to have a robust public comment period. They're going to take, the folks, the constituents of this fine state under advisement, and then they will work on maps. Of course, they have maps drawn. No. They have several different iterations of maps drawn. I have not seen those, but yes, they've worked on maps. They look at, I mean, they get down to the block. They get down to the street. They get down to which legislators live where. Are we going to double bunk these two or those two? This is about political gain. You know, redistricting is part of the reason that Democrats were in power for 140 years. So Republicans are well aware of the many different lines they can draw. Have they settled on a final set of maps yet? I don't know about that. And that's what they're really working toward over the next month.
Tell us about these early elections. Very interesting. Democrats saying, look, you've racially gerrymandered. You've undermined democracy. You've got to fix this now. Therefore, we need new elections. Judges said, well, we're not going to do that. But what about the politics of that? First of all, what would that have meant, special elections before 2018, the scheduled elections? Because it was a series, not just a single election.
Right.
And is there any clear winner? If there had been, would the Democrats really have benefited by that?
The only thing I think I can say with confidence to that question is special elections would have driven us toward a bit of electoral chaos. So if there were special elections, it would have meant that in every election, there's a filing season. Absentee ballots have to go out. Overseas ballots have to go out. There needs to be a primary. Would there be a second primary in the event that nobody got 50% of a vote? And then there's a general election. So the timeline for a special election would have been filing soon and then a primary in December, a general in March. Okay, but that's the special. Then we also have, as we do every 2 years in the state, a general election, which is going to take place next November. If you want to backtrack, the primary as of now is May. That could get moved to March. And then you have a filing season and all the other deadlines for that. So perhaps a little less garbled is if you were to have two elections, they would have been running at times congruently. They would have been overlapping. This would have been confusing to voters, confusing to candidates, to be totally honest. And it is not clear if this would have been a major advantage to Democrats or Republicans. On one hand, new maps historically mean opportunity for the minority party. So it would be an opportunity for Democrats to pick up seats. And as a reminder, they're trying to end that supermajority in the House. That's the one that's a little more viable to break up. The Democrats need to pick up three seats. But Republicans have won several elections in a row in this state. They are doing well fundraising. And I also wonder about, in short order, doing a special election. Do Democrats have enough good candidates to have have bolstered their number of seats?
Right.
So it's not
and the
clear.
Money. And the
and
money.
The
You've
money.
Got to spend
Big
a lot
factor.
Of extra money if you're running primaries and,
right.
and maybe runoffs, all of that simultaneous. Right. So that's not clear. And as you say, political gerrymandering is not illegal. You can still draw maps
for
political gain, although
right.
the Supreme Court is considering a case that could change that. But at the moment, it was the racial gerrymandering that was that was illegal and caused this rewrite, mm-hmm. you can still draw a map that works in your party's favor. And I'm guessing if you're in power, that's what I would do.
You absolutely can. And this goes back a couple of hundred years. I think one interesting dynamic to keep an eye out on is right now in the General Assembly, there are about 24 African-American lawmakers just in the House. And they did indeed pack a lot of black voters into a small number of districts. New maps may very much diminish the number of black legislators who serve in the North Carolina General Assembly.
I want to talk about something else. Legislature on a break, but that doesn't mean the business of government stops. Governor Cooper signed a number of bills last week into law, some of them with big implications, particularly the energy bill. Let's talk about that very briefly. Energy bill, one of which is kind of if you're a renewable energy fan, a mixed bag.
Sure. So what we've got here is a solar bill that eases restrictions on solar panels. You, I, any resident in the state, if you know we want to add solar panels to our house, it makes that pathway a little bit easier. This has been, you know, applauded by environmentalists and free enterprise conservatives, and it took a long time to get all of the folks to the table. This is a bill that passed in the House. Then on the Senate side, an unrelated matter is an issue of wind energy. And there's a particular senator named Harry Brown, the majority leader, Republican from Onslow County, who wanted to put in a wind moratorium in the state, ban any wind projects for 4 years. So when that energy bill, the one pertaining to solar, came over to the Senate, Brown attached this provision dealing with wind energy, and they sent it back. It was signed by the governor, and he did this, saying, hey, this is good for the economy, the solar piece of it. He also issued an executive order saying, you know, this wind energy moratorium, I don't approve of it. And I'm instructing the Department of Environmental Quality to continue issuing permits and recruiting wind energy during this time. So it's a bit of a juxtaposition right. within this policy.
And they shortened the frame for the
18 months, right?
Down to 18 months. He wanted a lot longer. So that may be some leverage for the governor as he goes out and recruits. And then that, if you can go back to the legislature and say, look at this is the business that we might be losing. Very interesting to watch that bill as it goes through, Jeff, that legislation as it moves forward.
Yeah.
Jeff DeBerry, thank you so much.
You're welcome.